Hello, everyone, and welcome to the COE Mobility Podcast. This is episode 4 of the series that I promised everyone that I would not ignore. So even if I do what seems now as a possibly once a month or twice per month recording of this series, you know, so be it. But I'm here nonetheless as your host, Justin Joseph from ProjectCOE.com, and I do appreciate your joining me with this particular recording. In terms of what's been going on with me and why it's been a while since I recorded my OUYA exclusive episode 3, well, pretty much just the usual, you know, responsibilities with home, you know, with my wife and my church, and just getting hammered left and right. And not that any of it is bad, but it's just, you know, takes up my time, and those things do come first. But nonetheless, I am most happy to take advantage of opportunities like I do now to record new episodes for the COE Mobility Podcast. So that's, I think, more than enough blabbery for you to handle. I'll go ahead and jump right into the topics I have for you today. So, more stuff about the OUYA, you know, that Android-based indie console that's scheduled to launch in about a half a year or so, in March of 2013. This thing just keeps on gaining steam in terms of investments. It's got a little over 50,000 backers now, and it's almost eclipsed also the $7 million plateau. And I...
Oh boy.
Pardon me there, my wife is texting me and I forgot that I had my phone on full there, so do bear with me about that. Apologize there. Anyway, as I was saying, a little over or just about $7 million invested on the project, and it's got a few days left, 56 hours, you know, specifically, so I will not be surprised in the least that in that time frame that the OUYA manages to acquire the less than $200,000 that it needs to cross the $7 million mark. So that's extremely impressive. Obviously shows, you know, despite the not exactly high numbers of people, but that amount of money is nothing to scoff at, which, you know, I think is should make us confident that this project will indeed see the light of day. In addition to, you know, the software that we're hoping to see on it and various things along those lines. And when it comes to software, we're starting to hear a little bit more about what kind of support we should be expecting, and it's pretty cool. Square Enix, you know, the makers of Final Fantasy and the owners of the Dragon Quest series, amongst various other things that have been pretty popular throughout the gaming industry over the years, they have promised Final Fantasy III, which I'm guessing is going to be the Android version of it that they've already released to the Google Play Store. They've promised that to be available at launch. And there's other titles there. I'm actually looking at Jared's article here. There's, let's see here, seven specific games confirmed, one of which is actually also a Human Element prequel, which is pretty cool, although that's not slated for the launch of the console. But nonetheless, some good stuff there. And then, of course, you also have that the company OnLive, who is responsible for that streaming service that you can enjoy by not having to purchase physical copies of games. You can just hook up your console to your internet connection and play the games just by streaming them. And I'm actually not familiar with that service, but I'm assuming it's some kind of a cloud-based service that this company offers that allows you to both play the games and save your progress at the same time. And they've promised that every single thing in their catalog is going to be available for the OUYA on day one, and that'll include, you know, really great series like Mass Effect and what have you. So just interesting news on those fronts. And if you are you know, excited about this project, and you might even possibly have your own you know, shipment pre-registered for with your donation. I think the original was $100, but then I think they offered, if I do remember seeing something from Ahmed from the site say that if you invested $200 instead, that you would have gotten like a limited edition version of the machine, which is, you know, it's pretty cool. I mean, obviously it's not entirely special. It's just different appearance for the plastic that they are going to use to manufacture this device, but nonetheless, still cool. And I really do hope that that the project sees success, not just at launch, but is able to, you know, stay alive for quite a long time to come, if not, you know, for a very long time to come. So that's what I have there to report for you guys on that front. Now, for you Apple users out there, you know, obviously your iMac, your iPods, your iPhones, all that good stuff, I'm not in that crowd, but according to Jared here, a little while ago, Mountain Lion, which was the next anticipated version of the iOS operating system that Apple designs for its devices. Let's see, when was this? July 25th, so about a couple weeks ago or so, that is now available for all of you out there. And I'm sure that if you're listening and you do own an Apple device, that you already have this you know, without a doubt, and I hope that you're enjoying it with all the improvements and new features that it brings with it. And that's pretty much all I have to say on that front. Now, in terms of personal stuff for me, well, not a whole lot, unfortunately. As I said before, towards the beginning of this episode, I've just been extremely busy. My responsibilities have just taken up a lot of my time, and it will likely be that way for the rest of my life. And again, as I said, no complaints about that. Just it has also taken me away from being able to play games on a regular basis and contribute at least writ-wise content to the site in a way that I would like to be able to more so. But, you know, you have to deal with what you got. But nonetheless, from my personal perspective, there's a couple games that I've been trying to work through. I mean, I'm not really far, but Dead Trigger from Madfinger, who is responsible also for Shadowgun. They released that probably about a month ago or so. It's their newest game. It's actually kind of an interesting situation. They've recently changed it to be a free-to-download game on the Google Play Store, and I'm not sure if it's available for Apple users as well, but at least for Android, it's actually free of charge now, with the exception that you have in-app purchases available if you would so choose to invest in those, so that you can purchase new weapons and upgrades for them and items, equipment, and so on and so forth. But according to some brief research that I've done, that Madfinger decided to make it free of charge because of unfortunate piracy, you know, problem with people pirating the game and subsequently, you know, making Madfinger lose out on the profit that they were looking for with that 99-cent cost that they originally released the game for. So that's kind of sad to see. I mean, I'm not surprised, because Android is a lot more open. It's open source. Anyone can use it for, you know, whatever purpose that they so desire. And it just it's sad that people chose to really target, you know, a very sophisticated game, which Dead Trigger very much is, and now it's free. And, you know, and that's great and all, but, you know, we should be supporting these people who are trying to put, you know, the effort that is required to produce products, especially for Android gamers, like Dead Trigger. And it's just, it's really sad to see them having to make a decision like that just to, you know, make, you know, possibly break even or whatever the case might be. And the last time I checked, I think the game was downloaded over 50,000 times. Now, I really wish, even on that front, and I've, you know, talked to Jared about it a couple times here and there, I don't like how bad sales tracking is done, especially on the Google Play Store. Just, it's kind of, I don't know, it's just too simplistic, and it doesn't really give you, you know, a clear idea as to how any particular game or even application, for the matter, is performing from a sales standpoint. But, you know, that's just me. Anyway, I've been playing that, and it's a fun game. It's not without its problems. I actually even contacted Madfinger myself, because I was experiencing a very frustrating control issue, you know, with the virtual stick and aiming my gun, and I would become just suddenly disoriented by looking, you know, somewhere where I was completely not intending to. And I did actually contact them about that. I don't know if it ever was addressed or if they even cared or if anyone else even perhaps sent them the same grievance, but nonetheless, other than that, it's a pretty fun game. It's a zombie first-person shooter, and it's definitely not exactly unique per se, but it's still fun. I mean, there's only so many games that you can have with zombies out there before things start to become a bit repetitive. But nonetheless, like I said, it's a fun game, and I do recommend you download it. It's obviously free now, with, again, just the exception of the in-app purchases, which is what Madfinger is relying on now to, break even and then hopefully eventually profit from their efforts and everything. Other games, I kind of said before that I was playing a couple of games, and that wasn't exactly accurate, but nonetheless, I also, in the past month, or a couple months, whatever time frame it really should be, I'm not sure, but I have seen for myself, and along with my wife, The Amazing Spider-Man and The Dark Knight Rises films. I enjoyed them both. Haven't really quite decided yet which one I liked better. And I mean, and I know that, it's kind of comparing apples to oranges. It doesn't really work per se because, completely different characters, completely different universes and all sorts of stuff. And there's really no reason to compare them per se. But obviously with them both being, high profile, AAA, anticipated blockbusters at the box office, people are going to do that inevitably just because, they're both superhero movies. But nonetheless, I did enjoy them both. If nothing else, I probably leaned a little bit more towards the Spider-Man film, and I say that just because in the Batman movie, and again, this could just be me, but I didn't really, I wasn't able to understand Bane's voice as well as I would have liked. I mean, I know that a lot of people probably didn't have that problem, but for me, I did. There was quite a number of his lines I just couldn't quite make out. They were still a bit muffled and what have you, which is, sad, but can't really do anything about that. And even though it was extremely fast-paced, I just thought, there was just so much going on and so much to keep track of. And if you didn't really remember much from the original, movie installment in the trilogy, Batman Begins, then you were likely going to be confused a bit watching The Dark Knight Rises, and that also was the case for me. For like the first, 45 minutes or so, I was having difficulty understanding just what was even going on. I mean, I knew the characters pretty well, with Catwoman, and obviously Bruce Wayne as he was, he had become the Hermit and everything, and also Lucius and Commissioner Gordon and Alfred and what have you. Great characters, but it was just a little bit difficult to follow if you hadn't seen Batman Begins recently. But nonetheless, they're both fantastic movies, and I absolutely recommend them to anyone who likes either or both, and you certainly shouldn't be disappointed at all. Now, in terms of gaming, it's kind of interesting because Gameloft, and I've talked about them quite extensively in the past, and I more than likely will continue to as I continue to record these COE Mobility podcasts. They're obviously a very prominent company when it comes to developing high-profile and highly sophisticated mobile games. I mean, I've talked about Modern Combat franchise and Nova, and I recently reviewed Nova 3. In addition to other games that they've put out there that kind of mimic other franchises that are popular on consoles, whether it would be Shadow Guardian with respect to Uncharted and Tomb Raider. They even have Rainbow Six. Now, unfortunately, most of their games aren't available comprehensively on every device, which is something I wish wasn't the case. But these people, they're talented. I mean, it seems like they somehow punch out these games every 2 weeks, but, if they're decent at least, then, no complaints. And I say that because they're also responsible for having just released, over the past couple months, adaptations for mobile devices, that being obviously smartphones and tablets, versions of The Amazing Spider-Man and The Dark Knight Rises. So right now, if you own a tablet or a smartphone that can connect to either the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store, you can actually download at this very moment for $7 a piece. I believe that applies to both marketplaces. The mobile game that this company, Gameloft, created along the lines of the Spider-Man film and The Dark Knight Rises. Now, I do intend to give them both a shot, and I do hope that they both end up, you know, being good, obviously, because $7 is kind of on the higher end of the price that you would pay for an Android game. You know, most of them cost between 99 cents and about, you know, $3 nowadays, which is what I think, you know, it should be and everything. But, you know, at the same time, I do understand, you know, with more, with prettier graphics and more sophisticated gameplay and things along those lines, voice work, whatever the case might be, that makes these games more, you know, comparable to the console titles and everything. And actually, even kind of funny on that front, that there is no other Dark Knight Rises game except on this platform. There's none that was ever announced for either the portables with the Vita and the 3DS or the 360, Wii, or the PS3, and I thought that was quite fascinating because, you know, people, and especially kids, they love their superheroes, and they often are easily caught up in the whole hype of, oh, you know, film is out, and there's likely going to be a video game adaptation for it, so, you know, beg mommy and daddy to buy the game version for you, and then you can spend, you know, 2 hours on it and get sick of it, because, you know, kids obviously don't really know how to play those kinds of games that well, and they're really only in it to see their character on the screen to begin with, and it just kind of surprised me that no one decided to capitalize on that. But nonetheless, I do intend, like I said, to invest in the mobile versions of The Amazing Spider-Man and The Dark Knight Rises. I don't really know anything about them outside of the trailers that Gameloft has available for you to view straight on the entries that you can view on the actual application store that you take a gander at. They have, you know, those trailers from YouTube that they link to those products. So whenever I get around to that, I will let you know, of impressions, and hopefully eventually review them both. But at least for the time being, my main priority is Dead Trigger, and I know that I've also mentioned in the past having played other games that I would like to review. But again, it's just when you don't have as much time as you used to, like is the case for me, you just have to, you know, do what you can when you can. So even though I kind of feel bad about it, and I certainly wish I could pump out a lot more content than I am now, like I used to, it just, again, isn't really realistic. And I know you're probably sick of hearing me try to make excuses, and I'm not really trying to do that per se. I'm just, I guess, sort of explaining that, you know, I just have to work with what, you know, with what my situation is. And that's really all there is to it. So I guess before I hit hopefully the 20-minute mark, I will go ahead and say one more thing. It's kind of neat that HTC, who is responsible for a lot of the more highly respected and more enjoyable smartphones that are available on, you know, on the Verizon, Sprint, and AT&T networks. At least for me personally, I really enjoyed a couple days ago downloading the, you know, finally the update to Ice Cream Sandwich, which is Android version, I believe, 4.0.3 on my personal HTC Resound, in addition to the update to HTC Sense, which went from 3.5 to 3.6. And, I mean, it's not identical to the experience on my Asus Transform Pad tablet, but it is nonetheless very similar, and I have very, very much appreciated it so far. It's really improved the performance of the phone, and I love how much more organized my applications are now, and just lots of different things that that people were able to look forward to. And it took an unfortunate 9 months for HTC to finally distribute that, and I don't even know if everyone even has had it made available to them at this point. But nonetheless, I think that if you do own one of the HTC phones that were slated to receive that update, you should be able to, at least now today, check for the new version, you know, under the settings and about the, you know, the software update option that you can see there, and see if you can grab it for yourself and enjoy a spiffy new operating system on your phone, Android that is, obviously. So pretty exciting stuff, and I do look forward to continuing to play with it and just experience all that the ICS update has to offer. So I'm going to keep my promise here. Folks, please follow us again on YouTube and Twitter, Facebook as well, in addition to, of course, our main website, ProjectCUE.com, Project_CUE for Twitter, and ProjectCUE altogether on YouTube and Facebook, and please just join us as we continue to offer content to you guys. So thanks for tuning in, and I will see you guys next time.